Daitya Yakshar Rakshamsi Striya Sudra Vrajaukasa Khagga Mriga Papa Jiva Santi Yachutatam Gataha Daitya of demons, Yaksha Rakshamsi, the living entities known as the Yakshas and Rakshashas, Striyaha, women, Shudra, the laborer class, Raja Okasa, village coward men, Kaga, birds, Riga, animals, Papajiva, sinful living entities, Santi, can become, he, certainly, Achutana, Achutatam, the qualities of Achuta, the Supreme Lord, Gataha, obtained. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Oh my friends, O son of demons, everyone including you, the Yakshas and the Rakshashas, the unintelligent women, Shudras and coward men, the birds, the lower animals, and the sinful living entities, can revive his original eternal spiritual life and exist forever simply by accepting the principles of Bhakti Yoga. Purport. The demons are referred to as Achyuta Gotra, or the dynasty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is called Achyuta, as indicated in the Bhagavad Gita. Senayor Ubayara Madhye Ritam Stapaya Me Chuta. The Lord is infallible in the material world, because he is the supreme spiritual person. Similarly, the jivas, who are parts and parcels of the Lord, can also become infallible. Although Prahlad's mother was in the conditional state and was the wife of a demon, even yakshas, rakshashas, women, shudras, and even birds and other lower entities can be elevated. That is the highest perfection. As Krishna never falls, when we revive our spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness, we never fall again to the material existence. One should understand the position of the Supreme Achyuta Krishna, who says in the Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha tatva deham punar janma naitimam eti sorjana. He who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, or Arjuna. One should understand Achyuta, the supreme infallible, and how we are related with him. And one should not take to the service, and one should take to the service of the Lord. That is the perfection of life. Madhvacharya says, Achyutatam, Chuti, Varjanam. The word Achyutatam refers to one who never falls to this material world, but always remains in the Vaikuntha world, fully engaged in the service of the Lord. Daitya Yaksha Rakshashamsi Striya Sudra Rukjokasa Kaga Mriga Papa Jiva Shantir Yachutana Tam Gataha. All my friends, O son of demons, everyone including you, the Yakshas and Rakshashas, the unintelligent women, Shudras and coward men, the birds, the lower animals, and the sinful living entities can revive his original eternal spiritual life, exist forever, simply by accepting the principles of Bhakti Yoga. In this verse, a number of things are mentioned. One of them is that anyone could become perfect in Krishna consciousness, because we're by nature perfect in Krishna consciousness. And second is, once we become Krishna conscious, fully Krishna conscious, then we'll never come back to material consciousness again. And the first thing is, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhu Kavanoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chite Karya Udoi. Nitya Siddha. We're all Nitya Siddhas. And what is that Nitya Siddha? What is our perfection? Krishna Prema. We're by nature devotees of Krishna. That's our position. That's our identity. That's our very existence. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhu Kavanoi Shravanadi. And we can wake up our Krishna consciousness again by chanting Hare Krishna, hearing about Krishna. Shravanadi, by hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna, our normal, natural consciousness of Krishna will be awakened. Shuddha chitta karyo udoy. Now, what is our current position? Our current position is that we're transcendental to this material energy. Everyone is transcendental to the material nature, but due to illusion, we think we're part of the material nature. Anaditvam nirgunadvat paramatmayam avyam sharira stopikantiya nakaroti nanlipite. That those who can actually see with the eyes of eternity can see that the soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of material nature. Despite contact with the material body or Arjuna, the soul is neither entangled nor is he doing anything. So we're not doing anything. In the sense, we're not doing anything material. It's not possible because we're not in control of the material nature. But we do have a connection with the material nature through our consciousness. So we're conscious of the material nature through our material senses. But that doesn't mean we've become part of the material nature. Just like you can watch a movie, and you may be conscious of what's going on in the movie. You may even have some feelings for what's going on in the movie, but you're not in the movie. The movie is something completely different from oneself. And if the hero is killed, you don't die. And if the hero gets a huge amount of money, you don't make any money. You may feel like you're successful. You may feel like you're in danger, but there's actually no danger. There's no success. It's all an imagination. It's not that there's no movie, but the movie is just some lights flickering on a screen. That's real. But it has no substance to it. You can't claim that in the movie I deposited $500 million in the bank and you go to the bank and say, well, can you give me my money back? No one will take you seriously because you didn't put any money in the bank. You just thought, you were just imagining it you did. So some of the material world is based upon imagination. We're thinking that these things are happening to us, but they're actually not happening to us. We may be experiencing things, but it's not happening to us. We're experiencing what's happening to our body and our mind and our intelligence due to our false ego. Therefore, once we wake up, then we won't be asleep anymore. Once we wake up to Krishna consciousness, then we won't want to go back to sleep, because actually the sleep that we're having now, the dream that we're having, is ultimately a search for Krishna. We just don't know that that's what we're trying to do. Everyone's looking for, as it says in the Krishna book, everyone is looking for someone to love. So that Krishna should be the object of love is the central point of Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna is the supreme lovable object, he's the supreme beloved, and once we become conscious of that, then in comparison to that, everything else we experience will be just like a mirage in the desert, or the reflection of an apple tree in the water. No one in their right mind keeps on diving into the water, searching after the reflection of an apple tree. When they actually find out where the real tree is and they get some of the apples, then they're not going to waste their time looking for the reflection in the water. So similarly, once we become aware of our relation with Krishna, then we'll no longer be attracted to any other type of relationship outside of Krishna. Of course, everyone in the spiritual world, or in this world who's Krishna conscious, they don't see any difference between relating to other living entities and relating to Krishna, because Krishna is the soul of all living entities. And nothing and no one is apart from Krishna. Just like the leaves and branches of the tree, you can't say are different from the root, or different from the tree. They're all part of the tree. So everything is part and parcel of Krishna, either here in this material world or in the spiritual world. Therefore, all we have is a relationship to Krishna manifested in a variety of relationships here in the material world. But once we revive our relationship with Krishna, then we'll relate to everyone and everything in relation to Krishna, and then we won't see any difference between relating to Krishna and relating to his expansions in the material world. And everyone can achieve that. Everyone's supposed to achieve it. It may be different from where we start off. Not everyone is starting off in the same mode of material nature, but then the modes of material nature are superficial to the living entity. They're simply external coverings. You may be in deep sleep and someone wakes you up, you're awake. Or you may be in semi-sleep and someone wakes you up, then you're awake. Perhaps it's quicker to wake up when you're in semi-sleep than when you're in deep sleep. But either way, when you wake up, you're awake. So anyone who takes to the process of Krishna consciousness then and follows it sincerely, although it may take someone longer or someone shorter time to wake up, but everyone will eventually wake up, takes to the process in seriousness. Therefore, Krishna says, Mamu Partha Upashritya. And anyone who takes shelter of me, Mamu Partha Upashritya. Yepi Supapayonaya, Striyo Vaishyasthatasudras, Tepi Yanti Puramgatim. So, anyone who takes shelter of Vyapashritya, Mam hi partha vyapashriti, tepi su papiyonaya. Whether you be a shudra, or a woman, or a vaisha, it doesn't matter. If you take to the, one takes to the process of devotional service, then he can gradually reach the supreme destination. So it just so happens in this age, everyone is starting from the basic, same, most of us are starting from the same position, that is, shudras. Completely an illusion. Actually, to be a shudra is quite an elevation in Kali Yuga. Most people are lower than shudras. But by some practice, people could actually become shudras and then elevate themselves beyond being a shudra to the highest platform of perfection in this age, especially by sincerely and seriously chanting Hare Krishna and taking to the process of devotional service by which we can learn how to chant Hare Krishna purely, with pure love. That pure love is dormant, but it has to be just like dormant within a match. It's fire. You have to strike the match, though, and then the fire will come out in a blazing light. So similarly, the Hare Krishna mantra is meant to strike our heart so our pure love of Krishna will come out and will become like a blazing light. Therefore, whether we like to chant Hare Krishna, we don't like to chant Hare Krishna, well, we know how to chant. Still, we should chant, and then gradually we'll make some progress, especially if we read these books, we hear about the philosophy, and then try to apply it within our lives, and then Krishna will reciprocate with us and reveal to us how to chant Hare Krishna offenselessly and revive our love for Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You use this analogy of watching the movie.
We don't recommend that.
And We are like an observer in the movie, in the cinema, right? We are,
right.
And what is in this analogy is mind, consciousness, and yeah.
It's our consciousness which is aware.
Since what is screen? In that, is that some sense? Of, what is
the screen?
What screen represents?
It's whole this universe.
What is our mind?
Material nature is just a screen. The material nature is just a projection. It's Krishna's, actually the material nature is described as Krishna's dream.
Hmm.
So the material nature is Krishna's dreaming. And the living entity, he's dreaming, he's manifesting his dream according to the desires and what the living entity, what the soul deserves. He's conscious of it, and he manifests his dream accordingly.
So soul is seeing that screen.
Experiencing it, not just seeing it.
Experiencing, yes.
Through all the different senses and the mind. And also will bring supplied intelligence to Krishna so we can understand what that experience is. We're perceiving. Everyone's having some experience in the material world, but according to our intelligence, that's how we perceive it.
And false ego absorbs us in that movie.
Yeah, it makes us forget who we actually are. Covers our... when there's polluted intelligence, then the living entity acquires a false ego by which he can identify himself with the mind and senses for sense gratification. So false ego is the basic principle of illusion.
And how then wake-up call goes to the intelligence? How that... Well, how we are aware that we are not that now that we are looking, oh, this is now movie, that we are aware of this, how this distinction, discrimination, okay,
that requires spiritual intelligence that Krishna has to give. Then one can perceive that that's what's happening.
So transcendental.
Prabhupada gives the example of a coconut. Inside the coconut there is a like a ball. But when the coconut's ripe, you shake it, you can't hear anything. But when the coconut becomes more riper, then the inside falls out, and then it's no longer attached to the coconut. So when our consciousness is attached to material nature, she's constantly putting us into illusion. But the more we take shelter of Krishna, gradually we become detached from the material nature, and gradually we can see things as they actually are. Nanyang ganebhyas kartaram drashteva nupashiti ganebhyas chaparam veti madbhavam sovikashiti. When you can see that there's nothing beyond the three modes in all activities, and that the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all of them, then you can know my spiritual nature. So gradually as we come under the influence of the spiritual nature, and we wake up, then we'll see actually that we're not part of this thing.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandeur Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.